Thank the Lord.
When Brother Shelton of Alabama came to Bakersfield, he was looking for the Church of God.
Yeah.
He did not know of the saints that are standing with the old-time standard as he knew it when he was a boy in his parents' home, but he still was daring to hold to the Church of God. And he went to several places looking for the Church of God and inquiring. His son lived there, grown son, 55 years old, 54, and his trip to California was in hopes to get his son saved, get him in touch with the Church of God. But Shelton was then 82. And he finally met some people that said there's a church down there on Brown in Virginia where all of them preaches. He said, that sounds like what I want to find. He said, all of them preaches down there. I said, that sounds like the very thing I want. He hadn't been in touch with that people since he was a boy in his parents' home, but he was in touch with Anderson headquarters and was active, but he was endeavoring to stay with the standard that he was taught. So when he told him that, it sounded right, and he went there, come to our service. One service was enough. He took a stand. And as a result of that, he's called for a meeting in Alabama. We were there about 2 months ago, or whatever it was, and quite a number that saved. The whole congregation could stand with him. We had four ministers actively carrying on the old-time truth on the left. But the main thought I wanted to mention is the fact that that was the impression the community had. All of them preachers down there. And people are not missing it very far when they say that. If you'll allow me to take my time and teach a little while, I believe from a scriptural standpoint, I believe we'll agree that they're not very far from the mark when they say all of them preachers. Moses said one time, when a young man began to prophesy, someone was prophesying, and Joshua or some young man called Moses' attention to it, thought that would make him stop. Moses said, I would that all of God's people were prophets.
Yeah.
I wish all of them was prophets.
Yeah.
Now,
wonderful.
I wouldn't mind if the whole congregation where I pastor was prophets, providing they all didn't pile up in the same place and try to run it. I wouldn't mind them all being prophets, all right.
I didn't get that.
I just said I wouldn't mind if all the people while I passed it would become prophets. If they all didn't pile up in one place and all of them try to run it.
Yeah. Okay, all try to preach at the same time.
Yeah. But in any case, the being prophets, that part is beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, I feel led of the Lord with your prayers to make an attempt to do a little teaching on the line of a spiritual church and to attempt by the help of the Lord to bring out the fact, scripturally, that every single member of the church is supposed to be spiritual. And the Holy Ghost is for all of the members and not just the preachers and special gifted workers. It's for all of them. And we hope to prove by the Word of God that there is a place in the body for every Christian to the last individual. And a particular place. That there's something in God's mind that He have for that person. And I hope to leave the impression, scripturally, of course, is important. Everyone. The one that is not seen, what most of what they do is not seen, are known. They're important. And we hope to reduce some people's opinion of themselves and increase other people's opinion of themselves. Now, sometimes people think too highly of themselves. And there are times people think too lowly of themselves. Amen.
Yes.
Now, if there was ever was a need there is a need for a balancedness among the people of God.
Amen.
Sometimes good people panic when they see some kind of a compromise coming in, and they take to a fanatic position to fight it. And there are times those when they can see very clearly that extreme fanaticism is gaining an inroad, the result of compromise, trying to counteract it. But God wants you and I to remember this one thing. Except the Lord, let me see if I can quote it now. Except the Lord keep the house, as it's a city.
Build the house.
Build the house.
They labor in vain
to build it. And what's the next one? Except the Lord keep the city. Waketh
but in vain.
Amen. Now, even though we are watchmen, even though we awake, it's in vain unless the Lord keep the city. Even for our builders and trained to build, we labor in vain, except the Lord build the house.
Yeah.
Now, keep this in mind, except the Lord protect his church, all of our efforts will be of none avail.
Yes, that's right.
And let's not resort to one extreme to counteract another extreme.
No,
let's take our stand on the clear word of God.
Yes.
And defy the demons of hell in whatever direction it comes from, and stand together as people of God. And God will bless us. Now, there are scriptural grounds to believe, the Bible proves, that some members of the church are to be esteemed higher than others.
Yes, bless the Lord.
I didn't know whether anybody had nerve enough to say amen to that or not. Some members of the church of God are to be esteemed higher than other members of the church of God. And the Bible is ensure that we have plenty help on this. Said to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake.
Amen.
Now that throws it real well, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. That's Bible. Bible again says, let the count them worthy of double honor. Double honor. Amen. All right. Now, in the effort to keep things balanced, sometimes people have not been esteemed as they should be. That's actually a fact.
Yes.
In the effort to keep them humble, they've withheld the respect from them to try to keep them humble like they ought to be.
Yes.
I've seen men do that. The Bible says for man to love his wife and cherish her as his own flesh. Honor her as a weaker vessel. That looks like quite a little care, doesn't it? Concern and caters to her. I believe all that would come under that definition. Well, as some young men said, if I do my wife that way, man, she'd rise up and walk right over the top of me. And I went back and read it again. It still read the same way after he said it. So that's her and God for that.
Yes.
But it's me and God for doing what the Lord told me to do. Now back to the word of God. If we do just what God said do, that's God's business as to what happens after. We're going to read in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I shall start with verse 1. And I'd appreciate it if someone else would turn to the 12th chapter of Romans in case I need it. Now I'll start reading with verse 1. You might read along with me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were the Gentiles carried away under the dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all and in all. I'm going to read farther. But I want to say, in hopes that will stick in your mind, just what we read here. That is from verse 4. Yes. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Going on farther now. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Whatever gift are manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the Lord bestow upon you or manifest through you, it was intended to profit all. All right? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another interpretation of tongues. But all of this is by the same Spirit.
Thank the Lord.
But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, Greeks, or be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one, pardon me, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where are the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. And again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Name much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
That took me in.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow a more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts are more abundantly comeliness. Have more abundant comeliness, pardon me. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same love one to another. Same love one to another. Whether it's big or little, weak or strong. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. I want them to be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Thank the Lord for that. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? No, they're not. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? some people would judge one Christian because he doesn't have the faith and power to heal the sick the same as another. That may not be his gift. He could be just as spiritual, but that's not his particular gift. Amen. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet you are under the influence of faith. Now, it's all good, but we will not read any further than that. That's some points through this chapter. But we fail to read the chapter that you may follow the little thought as we comment on the things in this chapter. In Romans, the 12th chapter, starting with verse 1, let's notice that it brings out some of the same things.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren,
by the mercies of God,
that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Holy, acceptable unto God.
Holy, acceptable unto God.
Which is your reasonable service.
And that's reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world.
Be not conformed to this world.
But be transformed.
Be transformed.
By the renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind.
That ye may prove what is that good.
Which is prove what is that good.
And acceptable.
Acceptable.
And perfect will of God.
And perfect will of God. Now this is the main thoughts. The first was telling us how that you had to qualify by dedicating your life wholly to God. Now we're going to talk about the gifts. I say through what now?
I say through the grace given unto me.
Through the grace given unto me.
Through every man that is among you.
Now I didn't say some of you, but every man that's among you.
Not to think of himself more highly.
Don't think of himself more highly.
Than he ought to think.
Than he ought to think.
Think
according as God has dealt every man to measure faith. Scoble would mean balance, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. Right on. Read right on.
For as we have many members.
We have many members in one body.
And all members.
All members.
Have not the same office.
Have not the same office.
So we being many are one body in Christ.
We being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members one off another.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us.
Our gift is different according to the grace given to us.
Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation.
He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity.
He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now then it says, let love be without dissimulation.
Well, that's a plenty. Now, let us notice the fact in both of these scriptures and brought out the fact that all of the members of the church doesn't have the same office, but they are members one of another.
Yes.
And they are gifted from the Holy Ghost. The same one Holy Ghost gives several different gifts to different ones. But keep in mind, they're not only joined to the Holy Ghost or to God, but they're joined to each other.
Yes.
They're members of each other. They're not just independent members attached to God and operate independent from heaven and no connection with one another. But they're members of each other too. There's a relationship to one another and to God. And both connections must be kept in good order for the church to operate as it should. And it's less than God's plan if it's anything less than that. All right? Now here's the thought. Every sanctified soul has received the same Holy Ghost. There's not an apostle's Holy Ghost, and a prophet's Holy Ghost, and an evangelist's Holy Ghost, and a gift of healing, a healer's Holy Ghost. It's all the same one Holy Ghost. Distributed the different gifts to the different people. bear in mind this. The one who had the gift of healing is possessed with the same Holy Ghost that gave the one the gift as apostle. The one that has the gift of discernment, he is possessed with the same Holy Ghost that gave the gift of wisdom. The gifts come from the same one Holy Ghost. But bear in mind this. A man is not constituted in a way as a whole to have all the gifts that a few people seem to have them, but just in a general sense, I mean. There were named two men in the Bible, Peter and Paul. It appears that they manifest about every gift we can name. If you examine them closely, it's God's privilege to bestow any number of gifts upon one person if he chooses to. That's entirely up to God. But he does not do everybody that way, for sure. Therefore, keep this in mind, that the Holy Ghost himself is the one that gives all the gifts, every gift, including exhortation and all. The Holy Ghost gives that. And he even mentioned about giving, wasn't it? With, I believe the Lord gifts people along that line. I've seen people, they're so good at it till I wonder if God didn't just give them that job.
Yeah.
Amen. It's his business if he chooses to give them that job, you see. All right. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Keep in mind it's the same one Holy Ghost that bestows all the gifts. And every sanctified soul have that Holy Ghost in his heart. Now this is what I'm going to say. The Holy Ghost who bestows the different gifts reserves the right to himself. No one has to give it to him. To use any sanctified soul in any of those places if he chooses to. Amen. That means this. A person who do not have space of faith, they flee to others for prayer in their distresses and sicknesses. If they are cornered off by themselves, they've exhausted every means to get help, and no one can reach them. And they throw themselves at Jesus' feet and begin to beg for help. Sometime a greater miracle than on record is wrought in answer to their prayers. Can't be witness to that? Why? They have the same Holy Ghost in their heart that give the gift of healing. And the person whom God used for healing is not there. So the Holy Ghost does it himself. One other thing I want to mention. God has given pastors to feed the flock, to care for them, instruct them, and protect them. If a saint is cut off from the way off in the mountains, island someplace, maybe they're down force, in service somehow, and can't get back. Yeah. If they'll look to God, the Holy Ghost will pastor. I believe we can get a witness on that. I've lived isolated, and I know that. He actually teaches them, give them regular messages, phone, and curses. When they move back into where there's a congregation, and just neglect to go to church, the Holy Ghost just closes up on them. Good pastor. Yeah. Amen. Why did he close up on it? I've got an established congregation here and a pastor here whom I've endowed with the Holy Ghost to give to pastor you. And you won't go in here. He just closed right up on it. But when he's placed under circumstance beyond his control, where he can't get to help, the Holy Spirit moves in and does it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
The same is true with all of the gifts. When a saint is cut off and isolated and abnormally sought help and guidance from spirit-filled men and women, gifted to do that. It affected some people. They decided they didn't need the preachers. No, that's not it. The preacher wasn't there. If he's there, God brings you by the instructors. Now, for God to have a church on earth means men and women filled with the Holy Ghost. You always have had angels. But in the New Testament, thy will be done in earth as it's done in heaven. That's the mystery of the New Testament church. Men and women doing the things an angel used to do. That's the secret of it. Now, if you notice it in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, who had prayed and fasted, God sent an angel to him to talk to him. Now, it looked like an angel could tell him anything he wanted to know, didn't it? You know what the angel said? You send to the house of the tanner by the seashore and call for Simon, Peter. and he will come and speak words to you. And when Simon Peter did come and began to speak to them, the Holy Ghost fell on him while he preached.
Yeah.
A greater manifestation when the angel was talking. What's the matter?
Yeah.
It's time for God to introduce him to the church that's here on earth.
Yeah.
He had a Holy Ghost filled gifted minister in reach of him, and that's his help. Amen. I don't have any hope to ignore and turn from the people of God and get help from God. I don't have any courage to believe I can do it. But I most certainly believe if I'm cut off from you, for I can't get to you, I believe God will do everything for me that all of you together would have done for me. Amen. But I do not believe he'll do it for me in the midst of a congregation. I believe I've got to come by the people of God. That's what they're here for. Amen. All right. Now, making that point clear, I hope we did, that the Holy Ghost, the giver of all gifts, reserved to himself the right to take care of any child of his, of God's, that may chance to be under circumstances where help can't reach them. All right? Now, the next point I believe we will deal with is this. I want to try and get this lesson over in a way that we can get everybody interested. Now, you take the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, gifts of healings and of government and help and gifts of wisdom. I believe we all look at that as spiritual gifts. I believe that's correct. But I'm in the hope that we can explain a little about the spatial gifts, and I trust that I won't get so enthused about it till I forget the next point I want. By the help of the Lord, we trust we will. We want to also explain how that every member of the church has a part in this. And that's when it's going to go over with power and authority, when every one of us is in it. Now, I'll try to spend a little time on the spatial gifts and leave enough to say a little about what we would think is not special gifts. But I believe they're special in God's sight just the same. Now, take the apostle. I believe we could prove with the Bible what we will say. We will make a brief explanation of apostles. The original apostles was 12 men that was chosen by Jesus Christ to walk with him and behold and personally behold his labors. And he taught them personally and ordained them to that office and endowed them with special power and authority. And to their lot, a responsibility, to plant the gospel in the earth. Historically, they would be called the founders. That's the way it would be called historically. Founders of the movement of the Church of God. All right? While we know that Jesus Christ built his church, but he used human instrument talent in bringing it about. And he chose to use human instrument talent in perpetuating it in the earth. That's his choice to do it that way. But he reserved always to himself the right, amen, that in the event that any one person or number of persons neglect that duty, praise the Lord, God still reserves the right to himself to move in. And he will move in. In other words, I'm clearly aware of the fact, after being saved 49 years, that God definitely can get along without me. But I surely can't get along without him. That's the whole thing right there. Now, the apostles had the personal knowledge and even saw Christ. Eyewitnesses to his mighty works. Paul, who considered himself born out of season, God called him in a very unusual way and qualified him, the apostles. Amen. The New Testament evangelists seem to be in those men who come immediately after the apostles. They were trained by the apostles, more or less, traveling companion with them. You notice Paul left with the Titus, or made a Timothy, And he wrote back and told him, do the work of an evangelist. Are any elders in every city? And so on. Hence the evangelist does the same work of the apostle. He just moved right in after the apostles and so founded the work and perpetuated and continued to spread the work. But notice something else. There seem to be two types of evangelists. Or if we get technical about it, there might be a little title to distinguish them from one another. There's some evangelists whose special burden and particular calling is lost souls. He doesn't have father burden. When souls are called, gained to the Lord, their burden is go ahead and hunt out other souls. There are others who have a particular burden for the establishing of the works. Those who are called out see them established and moving on. Amen. But the Lord makes the kind of an instrument he wants. But there's not any that can succeed alone. Our success depends upon each other. It's just set up together that way. If we accomplish some good alone, it could accomplish 10 times as much with together with another.
Amen.
It's just put together that way. When he sent the apostles out, if you'll notice it, and two, there's great power in two. Far more power. Isn't there something back in the Old Testament like this? One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That means two can do 10 times or more, fully joined together in the effort. And I believe God many times would be pleased if you could attach together two men with evangelistic burden, one whose spatial ability, wisdom and calling, dig souls out of the rut, out of the gutter, and another who has a spatial burden and wants to dug out, leave them established and going for a living. I believe the two together makes for a wonderful instrument in God's hands. Yes. Amen. Brother Harmon witnessed to me just now that in the early part of the Reformation, that that was extensively practiced, just like we said. That ought to be encouragement, isn't it? Brother Stover witnessed again. That's in his time. That's two witnesses right there with us, isn't it? So that strengthens what we're trying to get over here. All right? Now, don't let me forget this. I believe many of you know that I'm as much a teacher as anything else. I believe you'll accept that. And I believe you'll let me go ahead and just do what the Lord says. And, all right, now here's what I want to say. I don't want to close this little lesson until we have made it somewhat clear as to how God wants us to hinge together. That's your secret right there. In other words, say this physical body of mine cannot perform any duty efficiently unless the entire body is in good shape. I can do some work, but I mean unless the whole body. If my arms are big and strong and muscular, just stand up like that, hard, firm, and my back is very weak, there's not a lot I could do with it. If my arms and back is strong, but my knees are very weak and buckled, do you see if you haven't kept me yet? It takes the whole body. And if the nerves is greatly overtaxed, the entire system is out of balance. The same is true spiritually. In order for the gifts of this Holy Ghost, in order for any individual or individuals to exercise the Holy Ghost endowed gift, there needs to be a unity of the whole. That's true. Otherwise, you're handicapped. And still another thing I want to say, and I hope to prove it, the gifts of the Spirit will not properly function in the church. Even those who possess the gift and know it will be greatly limited in the exercise of that gift, unless that other must confidence from one to the other.
Yes.
That's true. I mean full confidence from all of us to all of us. If it's lacking, you can just wish all you please.
Yes.
Those who are endowed with special gifts will be greatly limited in the exercise of that gift.
Yes.
Now, if somebody says, what you going to do to get the confidence? But if you never get it, you'll never have the full power. That's true. It has to be a confidence.
Amen.
If you notice it is mentioned, the gift is given to profit with all.
Yeah.
That's not the exact wording, but you remember when we read it yet. To profit with all. That one who have the gift of wisdom, God endowed them with wisdom to profit the whole church. Amen. God intends by the wisdom of one gifted wisdom that many would be made wiser. The same is true with the gift of healing. The gift of healing is intended to establish the church in healing. That's what it's for. It's not just for the individual who has special power to heal the sick. Just gloat over the fact that it's intended to convince the church of God's mighty healing power and call all of them to have greater power to trust God for healing. That's what that gift is for. Now you understand this, do you not? The gift of teaching is that the whole may be enlightened and made wise, made more wiser by teaching. The gift of preaching is that lost souls may be brought to God. All the other gifts are the same way. Amen. There's a difference in the gift of faith and the gift of healing. The gift of healing has reference to one whom God chooses to endow them with special, extraordinary faith and burden for the healing of the sick. But that doesn't necessarily include everything else. That burden is for sick people. And they have faith to that effect. The gift of faith is broader in scope. That could include many things, the gift of faith. But one who have the gift of faith, God endows him with the gift of faith that the whole church may be increased in faith in general by beholding the manifestation of faith that builds all of us to greater faith. And the same is true with the gift of discernment. Amen. Now the gift of discernment, he said, all of them doesn't have it, do they? We're not all a prophet. We're not all healers. We're not all gift of wisdom. Amen. Neither do all have the gift of discernment. Now the gift of discernment is a God-given ability. Not psychology, but a God-given ability by the direct discernment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To recognize a foreign spirit when most all saved people never realize. That's the gift of discernment. They never have an idea. The devil's work and one gift of discernment, he recognizes right now. Even to individuals that are under foreign spirits, they recognize that fact, that I discern it in many ways. But now let me show you something here. We hope we can. Suppose you don't have utmost confidence in the person who has the gift of discernment. Amen. Then what good would it do you for them to give you a warning? Would that help you any? He said, here comes some more of his wild imagination, wouldn't it? I say again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be exercised to the full, there needs to be an utmost, unshaken confidence from one to the other. We are members one off the other. That needs to be there. And if it never gets there in your life, you'll never see the power of God work to the full extent in your lifetime. Amen. You'll never see it.
Yes. Here's the one thought. I should mention that has the gift of teaching.
Yes.
Wisdom and faith.
Yes.
That gift seems like implants to others, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
But why is it that the gift of discernment is more or less, you might say, remains with the individual?
Yes. That's the point.
Is it because people are afraid of it?
That's what it is. We're afraid of it. Now, here is something that's necessary for all of the gifts to function. The whole thing had to be brought to a pretty high spiritual level. Now, here's what I'm going to say. We'll not forget this point. I appreciate Brother Stover mentioning that because that helps me to work on that little point a little more. You see if I want it. Now, here's what I'm going to say. The gift of prophecy, I will make it more common language, the gift of expounding the Word of God and laying the judgments of God against wrong, when the church is at a low ebb, that's about the only gift that can operate. I said, when the church drops to a low ebb of spirituality, I don't mean it's dead, but that spirituality is at a low ebb, not really the whole thing, just in a general sense, at a high spiritual level, moving on to God, when it's not there, about the only gift that can operate efficiently is a gift of prophecy, of laying the judgments of God's Word. And that's the biggest thing God needs. Until he brings you to a condition where the other gifts can work. Amen. Because if you notice, when Israel was even backslidden, the great prophet still went forth with that message, denouncing the idolatry and calling them back to the law of Moses, and so on. The same is true with the New Testament church. If we drift to the extent we're a little too self-centered, not deeply spiritual, even all, at a spiritual level, while the Holy Spirit more or less controls our life, when you're not there, then God begins to bring forth his sound judgment. And in every meeting, the judgment has fallen like hail and fire, right to the church. Because that's the only gift can be exercised to the full extent. And that gift has to continue to go forth until it breaks up the fallow ground, melts up hearts, and we come to a surrendered, yielded state. Then God begins to move with other gifts. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, sure. Now, like we said a while ago, the gift of teaching, preaching the Word of God, is imparting instruction to somebody else. Yeah. Even the gift of healing is bestowing blessings physically on other people. The gift of discernment was manifest by Peter in the 5th chapter of Acts. When Ananias the Sapphira came before him and lied, you remember that? And said, we have sold our property and this is all the money. And God struck them dead. God did not kill them because they didn't give all the money. He killed them because they lied. All they'd have missed just missed a blessing if they had to give all the money. Because God says, give according to your purpose in your heart. If they had a purpose to give part of it, God has blessed them to that extent. But they lied. Do you think everybody there knew they were lying? No. I don't believe all the apostles knew they were lying. No. But Peter discerned it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. And called him a liar, didn't he?
Yeah.
Now, today, he'd have had a time with us, wouldn't he? But here is what I'm getting at. He called him a liar, and God backed him up and struck him dead right there before him. All right, now here's the thought. I believe we can accept that as discernment. I believe that was discernment. Amen. We find again, now this is what a lot of people doesn't exactly grasp. They seem to think if a person is gifted for anything, that they do that all the time. Didn't it say, he that teaches, let him wait on his teaching. He that prophesies, prophesy according to what it's supposed to say, and so on, you know. The same Peter, when the evangelist Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel, and many people, multitudes were saved, evil spirits went out of some, crying with loud voices as they were. And Simeon, if I remember right, that sorcerer down there, that bewitched the people and thought he was a great teacher and was baptized. We find no record of Philip recognizing as to whether he recognized anything unusual about him or not.
No.
So Peter and John went down and prayed for the Pope that he might receive the Holy Ghost. Now Philip the evangelist preached the gospel, got a bunch of people saved, and moved on. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
But Peter and John came right in and, so to speak, established them there. All right, they received the Holy Ghost. And in other words, they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. But listen, this sorcerer who was baptized and believed, he watched that. He noticed when those ministers laid hands on those folks and received the Holy Ghost. And I wouldn't doubt what was rejoicing in that place. You know what he got in his mind? Why, that beats my sorcery. He says, I'll give you some money for that if you give me that kind of power. Men in the Bible, Peter and Paul. It appeared that they manifest about every gift we can name. If you examine them closely, it's God's privilege to bestow any number of gifts upon one person if he chooses to. That's entirely up to God. But he does not do everybody that way, for sure. Therefore, keep this in mind, that the Holy Ghost himself is the one that gives all the gifts. Every gift, including exhortation and all. The Holy Ghost gives that. And he even mentioned about giving, wasn't it? I believe the Lord gifts people along that line. I've seen people, they're so good at it till I wonder if God didn't just give them that job.
Yeah.
Amen. It's his business if he chooses to give them that job, you see. All right. Now here's what I'm going to say. Keep in mind it's the same one Holy Ghost that bestoweth all the gifts. And every sanctified soul have that Holy Ghost in his heart. Now this is what I'm going to say. The Holy Ghost who bestows the different gifts reserves the right to himself. No one has to give it to him. To use any sanctified soul in any of those places if he chooses to.
Yes.
Amen. That means this. A person who do not have special faith in praying for the sick, they may flee to others for prayer in their distresses and sicknesses.
Yes, right.
If they are cornered off by themselves, they've exhausted every means to get help, and no one can reach them, and they throw themselves at Jesus' feet and begin to beg for help. Sometimes a greater miracle than on record is wrought in answer to their prayers.
Yes.
Can't be witness to that?
Yes.
Why? They have the same Holy Ghost in their heart that give the gift of healing. And the person whom God used for healing is not there. So the Holy Ghost does it himself. One other thing I want to mention. God has given pastors to feed the flock, to care for them, instruct them, and protect them. If a saint is cut off from the way off in the mountains, island someplace, maybe an armed force, in service somewhere or another, and can't get back.
Yeah.
If they'll look to God, the Holy Ghost will pastor.
Yeah.
I believe we can get a witness on that.
Yeah.
I've lived isolated. I know that. He asked to teach them, give them regular messages for their own encouragement. When they move back into one of the congregation and just neglect to go to church, the Holy Ghost just closes up on them. Good pastor.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's so.
Why did he close up on it? I've got an established congregation here and a pastor here whom I've endowed with the Holy Ghost's gift to pastor you. And you won't go in here. He just closed right up on it. But when he's placed under circumstances beyond his control, where he can't get to help, the Holy Spirit moves in and does it.
Yes.
Yes. That's right.
The same is true with all of the gifts.
Praise the Lord.
When a saint is cut off and isolated and abnormally sought help and guidance from spirit-filled men and women who's gifted to do that, and he can't get to them, when he calls on God, that Holy Ghost that gives that gift to those gifted people, then begins to render the same help to him. That's encouraging, isn't it? Now this is the way it has affected some people. They decided it didn't need the preachers. No, that's not it. The preacher wasn't there. If he's there, God brings you by the instructors. Now, for God to have a church on earth means men and women filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, the Lord.
He always have had angels. But in the New Testament, Thy will be done in earth as it's done in heaven. That's the mystery of the New Testament church. Men and women doing the things that angels used to do. That's the secret of it. Now, if you notice in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, who had prayed and fasted, God sent an angel to him and talked to him. That looked like an angel could tell him anything he wanted to know, didn't it? You know what the angel said? You send to the house of the tanner by the seashore and call for Simon Peter. And Simon Peter did come and began to speak to him, and the Holy Ghost fell on him while he preached. A greater manifestation when the angel was talking. What's the matter? It's time for God to introduce him to the church that's here on earth. He had a Holy Ghost filled gifted minister in reach of him, and that's his help. Amen. I don't have any hope to ignore and turn from the people of God and get help from God. I don't have any courage to believe I can do it. But I most certainly believe if I'm cut off from you, for I can't get to you, I believe God will do everything for me that all of you together would have done for me. Amen. But I do not believe he'll do it for me in the midst of a congregation. I believe I've got to come by the people of God.
Amen.
That's what they're here for. Amen. All right. Now, making that point clear, I hope we did, that the Holy Ghost, the giver of all gifts, reserves to himself the right to take care of any child of his, of God's, that may chance to be under circumstances where help can't reach them. All right? Now, the next point I believe we will deal with is this. I want to try and get this lesson over in a way that we can get everybody interested. Now, you take the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, gifts of healings and of government and help and gifts of wisdom. I believe we all look at that as special gifts. I believe that's correct.
Yes.
But I'm in hopes that we can explain a little about the special gifts, and I trust that I won't get so enthused about it till I forget the next point I want. By the help of the Lord, we trust we will. We want to also explain how that every member of the church has a part in this.
Amen.
And that's when it's going to go over with power and authority, when every one of us is in it.
Yeah.
Now try to spend a little time on the special gifts and leave enough to say a little about what we would think is not special gifts. But I believe they're special in God's sight just the same. Now take the apostle. I believe we could prove with the Bible what we will say. But we make a brief explanation of the apostles. The original apostles was 12 men that was chosen by Jesus Christ to walk with him and behold and personally behold his labors. And he taught them personally and ordained them to that office and endowed them with special power and authority. And to their lot, a responsibility, to plant the gospel in the earth. Historically, they would be called the founders. That's the way it would be called historically. Founders of the movement of the Church of God. All right? While we know that Jesus Christ built his church, but he used human instrumentality in bringing it about. And he chose to use human instrumentality in perpetuating it in the earth. That's his choice to do it that way. But he reserves always for himself the right, amen, that in the event that any one person or number of persons neglect that duty, praise the Lord, God still reserves the right to himself to move in.
Amen.
And he will move in. In other words, I'm clearly aware of the fact, after being saved 49 years, that God definitely can get along without me. But I surely can't get along without him. That's the whole thing right there. Now, the apostles had the personal knowledge and even saw Christ, eyewitnesses to his mighty works. Paul, who considered himself born out of season, God called him in a very unusual way and qualified him as an apostle. Amen. The New Testament evangelists seem to be in those men who come immediately after the apostles. They were trained by the apostles, more or less, traveling companion with them. You notice Paul left with the Titus or made a Timothy, and he wrote back and told him, do the work of an evangelist. Are any elders in every city? And so on. Hence the evangelist does the same work of the apostle. He just moved right in after the apostle and so founded the work and perpetuated and continued to spread the word. But notice something else. There seem to be two types of evangelists. Or if we get technical about it, there might be a little title to distinguish them from one another. There are some evangelists whose spatial burden, the calling is yours. He doesn't have father burden. When souls are called, gained to the Lord, that burden is go ahead and hunt out other souls. There are others who have a particular burden for the establishing of the works. Those who are called out see them established and moving on. Amen. But the Lord makes the kind of an intimate he wants. But there's not any that can succeed alone. Our success depends upon each other. It's just set up together that way. If we accomplish some good alone, it could accomplish 10 times as much with together with another. It's just put together that way. When he sent the apostles out, if you'll notice it, he sent them two and two. There's great power in two. Far more power in there. Some can chase 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to flight. That means two can do 10 times or more. Fully joined together in the effort. And I believe God many times would be pleased if you'd attached together two men with evangelistic burden, one whose spatial ability, wisdom and calling, dig souls out of the rut, out of the gutter, and another who has a spatial burden and wants to dug out, leave them established and going for a living. I believe the two together makes for a wonderful instrument in God's hands. Yes.
In the early part of this Reformation, that was extensively practiced.
Amen. Brother Harmon witnessed to me just now that in the early part of this Reformation, that was extensively practiced, just like we're saying. That ought to be encouragement, isn't it?
It was in my time.
Brother Stover witnessed again. That was in his time. That's two witnesses right there with us, isn't it? So that strengthens what we're trying to get over here.
Amen.
All right. Now, don't let me forget this. I believe many of you know that I'm as much a teacher as anything else. I believe you'll accept that. And I believe you'll let me go ahead and just do what the law says. And all right. Now, here's what I want to say. I don't want to close this little lesson until we have made it somewhat clear as to how God wants us to hinge together. That's your secret right there. In other words, I will take time and say this. This physical body of mine cannot perform any duty efficiently unless the entire body is in good shape. I can do some. I can do some work, but I mean unless the whole body. If my arm big and strong and muscular, just stand up like that, hard, firm. And my back is very weak. There's not a lot I could do, is it? If my arms and back is strong, but my knees are very weak and buckled, do you see that you haven't kept me yet? It takes the whole body. And if the nerves is greatly overtaxed, the entire system is out of balance. The same is true spiritually. In order for the gifts of the Holy Ghost, in order for any individual or individuals to exercise the Holy Ghost endowed gift, there needs to be a goal. That's true. Otherwise, you're handicapped. And still another thing I want to say, and I hope to prove it, The gifts of the Spirit will not properly function in the church. Even those who possess the gift and know it will be greatly limited in the exercise of that gift, unless that other must confidence from one to the other.
Yes.
That's true. I mean full confidence from all of us to all of us. If it's lacking, you can just wish all you please. Those who are endowed with spiritual gifts will be greatly limited in the exercise of that gift. Now, somebody said, what are you going to do to get the confidence? But if you never get it, you'll never have the full power. That's true. It has been mentioned, the gift is given to profit with all. That's not the exact wording, but you remember when we read it yet. To profit with all. That one who have the gift of wisdom, God endowed them with wisdom to profit the whole church. Amen. God intends by the wisdom of one gift of wisdom that many would be made wiser. The same is true with the gift of healing. The gift of healing is intended to establish the church in healing. That's what it's for. It's not just for the individual who has spatial power to heal the sick. Just gloat over the fact that I can heal more sick people by faith than the average person. That's not what it's for. It's intended to convince the church of God's mighty healing power and call all of them to have greater power to trust God for healing. That's what that gift is for. Now you understand this, do you not? The gift of teaching is that the whole may be enlightened and made wise, made more wiser by teaching. The gift of preaching is that lost souls may be brought to God. All the other gifts are the same way. Amen. There's a difference in the gift of faith and the gift of healing. The gift of healing has reference to one whom God chooses to endow them with special, extraordinary faith and burden for the healing of the sick. But that doesn't necessarily include everything else. That burden is for sick people. And they have faith to that effect. The gift of faith is broader in scope. That could include many things, the gift of faith. But one who has the gift of faith, God endows him with the gift of faith that the whole church may be increased in faith in general by beholding the manifestation of faith that builds all of us to greater faith. And the same is true with the gift of discernment. Amen. Now the gift of discernment, he said, all of them doesn't have it, do they? We're not all a prophet, we're not all healers, we're not all gift of wisdom. Amen. Neither do all have the gift of discernment. Now the gift of discernment is a God-given ability. Not psychology, but a God-given ability. By the direct discernment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To recognize a foreign spirit when most all saved people never realize. That's the gift of discernment. They never had an idea. The devil's work. And one of the gifts of discernment, he recognized right now. Even to individuals that are under foreign spirits, they recognize that fact, that I discern it in many ways. But now let me show you something here. We hope we can. Suppose you don't have utmost confidence in the person who has the gift of discernment. Amen. Then what good would it do you for them to give you a warning? Would that help you any? You say, here comes the morbid, wild imagination, wouldn't it? I say again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be exercised to the full, there needs to be an up. Put hands on them and then receive the Holy Ghost. But listen, this sorcerer who was baptized and believed, he watched that. He noticed when those ministers laid hands on those folks and received the Holy Ghost. And I wouldn't doubt what was rejoicing in that place. You know what he got in his mind? Why, that beast must prosper. He says, I'll give you some money for that if you give me that kind of power. So I can lay hands on the sick, on people, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, we didn't find evidence now of Peter recognizing it until that point. Do we see something there?
Yeah.
It's when God gets ready to do anything you get to do.
Yeah.
Whatever it be, it's when God gets ready.
Yeah.
Now, take prophets who foretell future events. People doesn't realize that God hides things from the prophet as well as reveals things. When God knows the prophet will have a perpetual concern with something somewhere or another, he'll hide it from him. If all around him and over him, he doesn't even see it. God hears it from him. Amen.
Yeah.
Then you can hide it from the prophet when God's good ready to reveal it to you anyway.
Yeah.
Amen. One who's gifted of God must be in God's hand as God chooses to use it.
Amen.
Not like man wants to use him and push him around, but as God sees fit.
Yeah.
Now we find that in this 8th chapter of Acts, that Peter did not show any evidence that he recognized a bad condition about Simeon until he spoke. Amen.
Yeah.
So God made him manifest it. He caught it right there and told him, you're in the gall of bitterness. You have no part in life in this matter. Amen.
Yeah.
Now here's what I want us to say. For the Holy Ghost to work in the church as God has planned, the church as a whole will have to be at a high spiritual level, the membership and all, not just ministers. If you have only a spirit-filled minister, they'll lay judgment like hail and fire on the church. That's right. And to continue to come that way. But when the church measures up to that word of God and meets those conditions and reaches a high spiritual level, the whole thing, that word is getting flowed over to the whole service. That's what will happen. You won't have to tell the preachers. The God will just turn his burden right on out to the world.
Yeah.
And it's beginning to ring out to a lost and ungodly world.
Yeah.
When the church measures up to it. But until the church does, you might have a 10-day camp meeting and 75% of the sermons right in the church.
Yeah.
So that's why it's needed. And that gift is a gift that will go forth like hail and fire. Sweep away and knock down all refuge. But let us measure up to it.
Yeah.
Every one of us, young and old, let us sincerely measure up to the word of God and live a life that's above this earthly sensual level on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit can control our lives, then the word of God will begin to be preached to lost souls and God will begin to use you. Oh, yes, he will. Let me inject this little word. Then I believe I should try to interpret a little more of the meaning of some of the gifts, briefly. It'll take all the time, but just scripturally interpret all of them. Those who preach the gospel, who occupy the pulpit, travel, full-time preachers, unless you and I will accept the preaching that's being given us, measure up to it, cut loose from everything else, to why that there just isn't much need of preaching because you're already living it. If you don't do that, now, you may not have your preacher's law. Amen. This is what I'm trying to say. I've seen some younger people think that we that's full-time ministers, are they getting all the cake and the pie? They just ride around and preach and eat chicken. They just look at it that way. Too. But the actual burden, they don't know a thing about it.
No.
I remember a young minister one time. Seemed like he wanted me out of the way so he could run something. And that sure was a bargain to me. But it wasn't long before he's calling for me. Amen. Is it absolutely more than he had any idea the burden was? Now this is what a lot of people doesn't realize. A truly Holy Ghost called minister, the gifted of God, will die and be buried in the grave as opposed to do.
Yeah.
That's right. He'll go down as he's supposed to do. He'll lose his life for the cause that God put him in. And you better step in and shield yourself. They'll do it. And place him in the ministry. Says nothing will stop him. You go down and be buried.
Yeah.
Trying to carry on the cross. That's a God given gift.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that God would not leave those innocents, says the Lord, who could have done something about it. I'm afraid he will not leave the ministry. Now let's notice something here. Across the country today, including my own self, most every minister that's active on the field, full-time minister, of middle age, have been down to the point of death a few times in the last few years. That tells you something. That's telling you something. That burden is absolutely more than it can bear, and the seal will not give up the, will not lay the armor down. That's what it's telling you. That's what that means. That means that burden is more than they can bear, and they still will not throw the cross down. That's what they're telling you. Well, the answer to it is this. Obey the instructions. Measure up to the word of God. Because two is stronger than one. A whole congregation is stronger than one.
Amen.
Wherever you live, in the community living in, make sure you stand shoulder to shoulder with your minister there, and all of you need to burden together. Oh, yes. Now, have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard folks step back and look when they're praying for the sick? I wonder why those ministers don't have more power to heal the sick like you. You ever heard that? That sounds like he was on the outside of it, didn't he? And why they, amen, don't have more power. As far as I'm concerned, it's us all the way through. And there's something else that I advise against. And I don't believe there's a thing wrong in me advising against this. When the ministers are praying for the sick around the altar, souls to get saved, either one, whatever it be. Folks say, sit back in the audience looking, watch and see who. Pray first. That's bad, isn't it?
Yes.
Every person saved ought to go down and pray.
Yes.
If they don't get on the knees, you ought to be at the head bowed, calling on God right along with the ministry.
So.
If there's 100 people or 10, all of them ought to be under the burden of the end. Every one of them praying, and praying continuously until the victory comes.
Yes.
No power. Now, I believe we're going to take time and bring this little thought now. It takes a little time for me to get things over. I wanted to bring a thought in this message about the laity, if we'll call it that way, and your part in this. And maybe I'd better bring a little of that in. Now, preachers, those who preach the gospel have a gift, and that's a special gift. That's a distinguished gift to expound the word of God. And if you notice it, how many other callings do you know of among us except preachers? I won't ask any hands to go up. Have you ever noticed that? Yes. Lots of preachers on that picture. Now, there's somebody mentioned in the Bible because besides those who just preach. Why are they? What they with it? Seems like everybody gets a burden, they think it's preach. Here's the thought. There are helpers. Amen.
Yes.
There are teachers.
Amen.
That God has gotten much sense in us. Amen. If you're going to put up a big building, yeah, Brother Harmon's a carpenter and Brother Stoll's a carpenter. There he is again. Well, now, if you're going to put up a big building yet, now, I'm not a carpenter, so if I fumble this a little bit, you can excuse me for that.